Sources in the Obama administration now say that the attack in Libya that resulted in the death of U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three of his staffers may have been a planned attack, not a spontaneous mob spun out of control, as was previously reported. The attack on the consulate in Benghazi included mortars and rocket-propelled grenades. That's in contrast with what appeared to be spontaneous, nonviolent protests in Cairo. Initial reports placed the blame with groups angered by an inflammatory anti-Islamic movie by California-based Sam Basile. That movie depicts the Prophet Muhammad as, among other things, a philanderer. Other protests have erupted around the Middle East, including in the Gaza Strip, where dozens of people burned American flags and chanted "Death to America." Julian Barnes is covering the story for The Wall Street Journal. He joins us from the Pentagon. And Julian, what are you hearing now about what the Obama administration is saying about the attacks?
Well, there is a division among U.S. officials on exactly what happened here. There are officials who believe, as has been reported, that the attack was planned, and that people who were more heavily armed either used the protest as a cover or actually ginned up the protest in order to attack the consulate. But there are other officials who are saying, hold on here, we don't have a lot of evidence, we don't know exactly what happened, and they're saying, let's get more facts before we rush to a conclusion. They're saying that they can't be sure exactly what happened here yet.
So at this point, we really just don't know whether the people who died were targeted or whether they're just unfortunately in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's right. I mean, there is one theory that says, they were there was an extremist group here. Some people think it's an Al-Qaeda-affiliated group that is active in Benghazi. Others have a different theory. But some people feel this Al-Qaeda-affiliated group, was planning an attack on the consulate and, used the furor over this film in order to, as cover or a diversion. Others are saying, we're working hard to pin blame, but we can't do that yet.
Libya's ambassador to Washington told Foreign Policy magazine today that allies of the former Libyan leader, Muammar Gaddafi, were behind this embassy attack. Any indication that might be the case?
I haven't gotten anything affirmative from officials I've talked to on that. Officials I have spoken to are looking hard at the Al-Qaeda group Ansar al-Sharia and some other Al-Qaeda style groups in the area, but it is certainly a possibility that former Qaddafi loyalists, they would have a reason to attack the consulate. So it's certainly a possibility, but the U.S. officials I've talked to are much more focused on Al-Qaeda-aligned groups than Qaddafi-aligned groups.
Within hours after this attack, at least one Islamic fundamentalist group had claimed responsibility, but it later retracted its claim. What do you make of that distancing?
Yeah, that it's certainly confusing. I didn't get the sense from U.S. officials that they were looking precisely at the organization that made the claim. This typically does happen. When you have a spectacular attack, people do claim credit for it, even if they had nothing to do with it. Now, President Obama made pretty clear today that the U.S. is going to try to bring to justice people who held responsible. So it is certainly possible that a group claimed responsibility in an opportunistic way and then realized that they may be inviting a strike by the U.S. and then tried to shift gears.
And Julian Barnes, you're in the Pentagon, as we've said. You're not in Libya. But have you heard any new information about how Ambassador Stevens died? Because some reports are saying it may have been smoke inhalation that killed him.
Yes, I mean that's the this is a changing story. The facts are altering. The latest that we have heard is that there was a grenade thrown into the consulate, which caused a fire, and that the smoke from the fire was responsible for the deaths of the Americans. As on all aspects of this story, so soon after, we have to say we're still figuring out. And I, you know, that story could change a couple times before we know the definitive truth.
And Julian, in the short time we have left with you, of course, yesterday was 9/11. Any sense of whether other attacks may be in the works, perhaps related to that date?
Well, the timing of that date and the fact that this occurred on September 11th certainly has some U.S. officials on edge. That is certainly why some U.S. officials are looking hard at al-Qaeda right now and affiliated groups because of that organization's tendency to use anniversaries to mount new attacks.
That's Julian Barnes. He's covering the killings of four diplomats, including the American ambassador to Libya, for the Wall Street Journal. He spoke with us from the Pentagon. Julian, thank you.
Thank you.
Until yesterday, the last U.S. ambassador killed in the line of duty was Adolph Dubs in Afghanistan in 1979. Chris Stevens, who died in the attack on the U.S. Embassy in Benghazi, Libya, was a Peace Corps volunteer and a veteran diplomat who had also served in Cairo, Jerusalem, and Saudi Arabia. He spoke Arabic, and he introduced himself to the Libyan people in this video when he was appointed.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Chris Stevens, and I'm the new U.S. ambassador to Libya. I had the honor to serve as the U.S. envoy to the Libyan opposition during the revolution, and I was thrilled to watch the Libyan people stand up and demand their rights.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said today that Libyans carried Stevens' body to the hospital after the attack. For more on the story, we turn to Christopher Dickey. He's Mideast editor and Paris bureau chief for Newsweek, and he also writes for The Daily Beast. He joins us from NPR New York. Chris, do you think this attack yesterday was planned or really just about the release of this anti-Islamic film?
Clearly, there are people who were attacking the embassy not only because they were angry because of this stupid film that was produced in California, but also because they want to undermine the beginnings of democracy in Libya. And I think they're succeeding in that. They killed one of the people who's worked hardest for real democracy in Libya and who was the most open and possible representative of the United States in that environment. No, it's really a tragedy.
And then how do you think this will affect that whole North Africa and Mideast region? Because we saw the protests in Egypt and Libya and now today in Gaza.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of this stuff. You've got an awful lot of local politics now that has been unloosed by the Arab Spring. And, you know, in the Middle East, just like every other place, all politics is local. So people are using this issue as a wedge issue to make their points about all kinds of issues, but mainly to undermine whatever the status quo is. In Egypt, you have a really interesting and difficult situation because you have these Salafis, these very radical Islamists, who, by playing these games, are undermining the credibility of the Muslim Brotherhood that's leading the government. All of that is kind of inside baseball if you don't live in the region. But the bottom line is there's hell to pay for U.S. policy.
And I think there's a larger question here, which is how much U.S. influence is there in the region? How much can we control?
Well, you know, we tried to have influence for many, many decades by supporting dictatorships, and we've given up on that policy, wisely, I think. But it means that we really can't control very much on the ground. I mean, one of the things that's happening today is that we're sending more Marines into Libya. We're sending several hundred Marines into Libya to protect U.S. installations there. But my God, the memories that that's going to evoke on the ground in Libya, and in fact even in the United States, where the Marine anthem talks about going to the shores of Tripoli, are pretty extraordinary.
Let's talk a bit about how this is being viewed in the U.S., because President Obama, of course, condemned the attack this morning, and here he is speaking in the Rose Garden at the White House.
Since our founding, the United States has been a nation that respects all faiths. We reject all efforts to denigrate the religious beliefs of others. But there is absolutely no justification to this type of senseless violence.
But when Mitt Romney made a speaking appearance in Jacksonville, Florida today, he continued his criticism of the administration from yesterday after the U.S. Embassy in Cairo was breached during protests over the film. Here he is.
As I've watched over the past 3.5 years, the president has had some successes. He's had some failures. It's a hit or miss approach, but it has not been based upon sound foreign policy.
Chris Dickey, is it inevitable that this would become part of the presidential race in the U.S.?
Of course it is. And what does Mitt Romney know about sound foreign policy? Where's his experience? I don't think he's got any at all. You know, what we're really talking about here is shouting fire in a crowded theater, something that people in the United States have understood for a long time is illegal and shouldn't be done. The world is a crowded theater now. And when you go out of your way to make an incredibly stupid, gratuitously insulting film about Islam, of course you expect these reactions. And I don't think we should rule out the likelihood that the people who made this film, distributed it, and are now playing off the violence are people who all along wanted to exploit it and whatever violence resulted to undermine the Obama administration and put it in a difficult position.
Chris, you mentioned Mitt Romney not having a background of much or any foreign policy. To the degree that this puts foreign policy more into play in the presidential campaign, do you see it being more of an advantage to the president or to Mitt Romney?
Well, I think because that foreign policy concerns the Middle East, it's going to be a disadvantage to President Obama. I mean, one can't help but think, looking at the video that was coming out of Cairo yesterday, of the siege of the U.S. Embassy in Tehran in 1979, which went on for 444 days and cost Jimmy Carter the presidency. You can imagine, I don't think we can imagine anything quite as bad as that, but we can imagine that if there are a succession of incidents like this, Romney and Ryan will exploit them and will use the issue to say, you see, Obama's not the leader he should be. And people who are already angry about the economy will transfer that anger or amplify that anger as they see American flags burned. And I don't think that that will help Obama at all.
A foreign policy crisis of any kind is always tricky for a president to navigate. What is the delicate line here that you see President Obama walking?
Obama has to keep it from getting worse. He can't really make it better. It will get a lot worse if you start to have a lot of people on the ground dying in any of these places. If, for instance, the Egyptian police and military had opened fire on the protesters who were climbing over the walls of the Egyptian embassy, the embassy in Egypt yesterday, then we would really see hell to pay. I think the fact that an American died, four Americans died, is a tragedy, but it would have been, from a policy point of view, even worse had a number of Libyans been killed in that incident. And we can't rule out that in the days to come, something like that will happen. There will be martyrs. The whole issue will be exploited ever more intensely by radicals. And we really will have a horrible situation, an even more horrible situation.
Chris, your quick thought on one last thing, which is that yesterday, of course, was 9/11 here in the U.S. And I'm wondering if you see any significance to this happening on that date.
Oh, I think it was time to happen on that date. There was a big buildup in Egypt to provoke this and to make it happen on 9/11, exploiting the existence of this YouTube video. It was translated into Arabic so it could be shown to audiences in Egypt. So I think it was quite intentional.
Christopher Dickey is Mideast editor and Paris bureau chief for Newsweek. He also writes for The Daily Beast. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.